Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 7th of March, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Richard started a new series where we're running up to Easter called The Road to Jerusalem, and he spoke on Jesus predicting his suffering. The reading is Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. So we'll join Richard as he's introducing the service.
We're there. Good morning and welcome to our service from Minehead Baptist Church this morning. A warm welcome to you, whether you're online in person or you're listening to this on CD or online. It's great that you're able to join us this morning. My name is Richard and I'm one of the ministers here. And a warm welcome to you all. The notices are generally as per the notice sheet with the slight change that the notice sheet says we have two sets of prayers tomorrow morning. Just to confirm, it is the prayers from the hub from 9:30 that will be taking place, leading into our time of streamed prayers at 10 o'clock. So there'll be no Zoom prayer meeting tomorrow. A reminder as well that those of you here in the church, we're not allowed to socialise before or after the service. I know that will be a challenge for some of you, myself included, but just a reminder that that is what the government guidelines say. And finally, we are sharing in communion later in the service. If you're here in the church, we've got it ready for you, but if you're at home, there's still time to get it ready. Go and find something to share with us. So however you come this morning, whether you're celebrating the end of homeschooling and the return to school tomorrow, or bemoaning it, one or the other, I'll leave you to decide. Come and worship together. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning, gathered together as your people, gathered together to worship you. We pray, Lord, that no matter where we are, no matter how we are feeling, that we would be able to point our eyes towards you. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to join and sing a couple of songs. Just to say, if you're in church, you can stand and dance in place if you'd like, but there is no singing, as I'm sure you're aware. So let's join with Steve as he leads us in Fairest Lord Jesus, and then we're going to join with Roy and Jenny as they sing More Than Gold.
Please be seated. For those of you online, my name's Paul. I'm a minister here at Minehead Baptist Church. You are truly welcome. And listening to those two songs reminds me of something we have declared week after week after week after week. And we're going to declare it before we pray this morning. It's a declaration that's true. Nothing, but nothing can alter it. Our God is still our God. He still reigns and he's still in control. And the reality is, no virus, no pandemic, no response to it, no government restrictions, no worldview, no fear, no doubt, and no anxiety can change the reality that our God is still God and he still reigns. And he is in control. And it's against that background that we bring ourselves in prayer this morning. In some prayers written for Lent. Actually, one of the prayers we're going to use was written literally 1,100 years ago. But the reality is they are perfect for today, at a time when we come and bring ourselves before an amazing Lord. So I invite you to pray with me to to our Creator God. Friends, let's pray. Creator God, we marvel that we are made from the dust of the earth, immediately connected and intimately connected and uniquely purposed within your creation. Yet we confess that we have polluted this planet with sin and soot, that we have done so much to distance ourselves from you, disconnected ourselves from our relationship to this planet and to yourself, ignored the fragility and deaths of our own fellow humanity. Have mercy upon us, we pray this morning, as we repent and remember our return to dust. May we take up our crosses and follow you, and be faithful to your Son, who became human and died that we may live. In this season of Lent, we're reminded of our own difficulties and struggles. Sometimes the way has seemed too dark. Sometimes we feel like our lives have been marked by pain and grief. In the midst of a pandemic, it is true to say that sometimes we don't see how our circumstances can ever change. But in the midst of our own weakness, we ask that you would be strong on our behalf. Lord, rise up within us. Let your Spirit shine out of every broken place we've walked through. Allow your power to be manifest through our own weakness, so that others will recognize it is you who is at work on our behalf. We ask that you would trade the ashes of our lives for the beauty of our presence, of your presence. Trade our mourning and our grief for the oils of joy and gladness from your Spirit. Trade our despair for hope and praise. In the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of us not being able to meet, can we use the word normally, Lord? We choose to give you thanks today and believe that this season of despair and darkness, anxiety and fear will fade away when held against the reality of who you are. Thank you that you're with us in whatever we face, and you're greater than this trial. We know and recognize that you are sovereign. We thank you for the victory that is ours because of Christ Jesus. And we're confident that you still have good things in store for our future. We thank you that you are at work right now, trading ashes for greater beauty. We praise you for all things made new. Amen. And we take up, Lord, the challenge of that song we sung. That song that reminds us of those words in Micah. As we look out on our broken world, help me, Lord, help us, Lord, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, so that the justice, mercy, and love and humility which we show to the world and bring to our neighbourhood may speak of you. And in all things and in every way, Lord, you would be glorified, take the highest honour, that your name would be raised world without end. And we pray, Lord, for ourselves, for our neighbours and for the world, that your grace would abound. We acknowledge the reality this morning that you are coming again, Lord. And we acknowledge that this morning you live and reign with the Holy Spirit, one with your Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, I'm not quite sure why this morning he's dressed up the way he is. I just know he's dressed up the way he is. Mark's going to come and explain to us, or at least I'd hope he is.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, you're lucky, the people in church, because I was going to come with my shorts on. All right, they are underneath my trousers, but I spared you that moment. Okay, people who are at home, you're lucky. Okay, stay where you are. Right, good morning. Good, there's not many people here. I thought there was a few more than that. Good morning. That's better. Okay, everyone at home, are you feeling okay? Are you ready to go back to school tomorrow? Some of you don't go back until Wednesday. I know, you're the lucky ones. Okay? Mums and dads, I bet you're waiting for them to go back, aren't you? Yeah, I bet they all are. Okay, I'm dressed like this because I like sport. And I like to run. Do I like to run? I do. I sort of like to run. It's good for me. Okay? But I don't really always want to get out there and run. But I do like sport. Who likes sport? Great. Who likes to do sport? Oh, there's a few hands going up. What about at home? What sport do you like to do at home? Oh, yeah, football. Who said cricket? Yeah, cricket's all right. Okay. Well, I like to watch sport. And apparently this year, hopefully, I was going to do fingers crossed, but not really good in church. Okay? All right? Hopefully, the Olympics are on this year. Is that right? Hopefully, the Olympics. I love to watch the Olympics. I always dreamed of being in the Olympics. Who dreams of being in the Olympics? What about at home? I'm thinking more at home, because you're younger than the rest of us here in church. Okay? Our Olympic time's probably gone, but yours at home isn't. You've got a chance to reach for the Olympics. What would you do? What would you have to do to reach the Olympics? Because you might be good at running, but to get to the Olympics, you have to be better than good. You have to make sacrifices. If you're a swimmer, right, you have to make sacrifices to get to the Olympics. You might have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Drive to Bridgewater, where there's the biggest swimming pool around here. Then you might have to do a couple of hours swimming, then come back and go to school. And then after school, you might have to go back to Bridgewater and do more swimming. To be an Olympic athlete, you have to make sacrifices. You have to give up things. Put things into priorities. Well, this year, Mark, along with a few other people in this church, right, have entered and are going to do the virtual London Marathon. And there's a few of us, I think there's about five of us from what I know, who are going to do this marathon. Well, Mark started his marathon training yesterday. Okay, so I went out and I did about 3 miles. Well, the marathon's about 26. Okay, so I've got a little bit more training to do, but it's not until October. But what it will mean is that I've got to make sacrifices. Because like I said, Mark likes to watch the telly. I like to watch sport, and I like to watch murder mysteries, and I like to watch Kirsty and Phil's Love It and List It and all those things. I'm not going to be ready for the marathon if I just watch the telly. I've got to get up and I've got to run. I've got to run for a long time. And I've got to go out maybe 5 or 6 times a week. That's a sacrifice. And I've got to go even if it's cold. And I've got to go even if it's raining. That's going to be a sacrifice. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but being a Christian and following God can also be a sacrifice. Because it tells us in our Bible reading today, things can be tough being a Christian. But we have to make sacrifices. And we have to prioritise. Because to be a Christian, to follow God, we need to spend time with him. Yeah, we might want to watch the telly. Yeah, we might want to go on our phones and look at the Facebook and the YouTube and the Snappy Chat and the whatever else you're doing, Instagram. We might want to keep in touch with what's going on. But to follow God, we have to spend time with him. Which means you might have to read your Bible when you'd rather watch the telly. Being a Christian can be a sacrifice. But it's worth it. Because just like Mark, when I finish the virtual London Marathon, I'm going to get a medal and a t-shirt that says finisher. I'm going to feel proud and excited and elated and absolutely cream crackered. But I'm going to feel brilliant. And we've got eternal life to look forward to. Jesus made the absolute ultimate sacrifice. He died and rose on the cross so that we could be forgiven and get to God. We need to make a little sacrifice if we want to follow God and spend some time with him. So when you're thinking you'd rather watch your telly or you'd rather get your phone out, open your Bible. Talk to God. Start to run the race of your life. Because winning is not as difficult as you think. You've just got to make that first step. And just like Mark started his marathon training with a 3-mile run, jog, walk yesterday, that's what being a Christian can be like. Start with small steps. But please start. Have a really good week, everyone. Let's pray before we go out to fire starters. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to run the race with you as our coach. Lord, we thank you that you are with us, beside us, in front of us, behind us, just with us all the time. You're the one that's cheering us on. You're the one that's giving us a bottle of water to drink on the way. Lord, help us spend time with you. Help us come close to you so that you can help us in our life, our run, our journey, and our life winning race to be with you. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, give me a few minutes because I've got to get up the stairs and I'm not quite fit enough yet. And we'll get onto Zoom and I'll see you all in a minute. Take care. And the rest of us, we are going to sing a song. There is a day that all creation's waiting for.
There is a day that all creation's waiting for.
This is a strange thing to say to you, but actually, I've got up here and I've realised I've lost a lens out of my glass. That sounds really weird, but I therefore cannot see my Bible without the lens in my glasses. Richard, could you come and read scripture for us? I do apologise, everyone. This is a very strange thing. Never happened to me before. I shouldn't buy cheap glasses from somewhere, should I really? So sorry about that, but there we go. Richard, can you come and read some scripture for us? Oh, and actually, before he does that, Richard's going to follow on from that and lead us in God's word. Let's pray for him. Father, I thank you for your servant. Thank you for Richard. I thank you for who he is and how he is. I pray, Lord, that you, who are his all in all, may uphold him and give him your words, the words of your heart that lead us into your throne room, that speak of you, that put us in that moment of divine exchange where we respond. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
There we go. Possibly never to be repeated in any church service ever anywhere else. We're in Matthew chapter 16 this morning, verses 21-28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. Let me just raise this up. Tall people problems. There we go. Good. So this morning we start a series, The Road to Jerusalem. A road that ends at the cross. And we see that here in this first verse. From that time on, we read those important words. This is the start of a journey ultimately leading towards Jesus' death on a cross. At Easter, which we celebrate in three or four weeks' time, one or the other, Jesus is entering the final time of his life here on earth. And we see some of that here. But this passage has a big question within it, and one that we may well find very difficult to answer ourselves honestly and truthfully. And it's this. Do we prefer our own plans over God's? Would we rather carry out what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do? Because that is what it seems to be that Peter wants. Peter cannot bear the thought of Jesus actually carrying out God's plan for him, for Jesus. Which does seem a bit strange, because we know that a few verses earlier in verse 16... Peter gives a confession of faith and proclaims Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Peter was a good Jew. He must have known that the Messiah was to die, had to die to save the world. Yet even then, he could not face the thoughts of having the hardship of himself, of the hardship that he would be subjected to by losing his teacher and friend Jesus. How often then do we fall into that same trap? How often do we go our own way because we cannot bear the thoughts of the difficulties and the challenges that God is asking of us, that he's putting before us in his plan for us? All too easy is it to turn away from God's path, to take the easier route out. And in verse 23, we see some of the results of this. We see famous words spoken by Jesus to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You can't help but feel to be accused of being Satan by Jesus must really have shaken Peter to his very core. Yet in this moment, Satan sought to use Peter to subvert God's plan, to attempt to turn Jesus away from the final victory. And cannot it be possible for us to be accused of these things? To seek to turn ourselves and others away from God's plan. Because at the heart of this, there is a spiritual struggle between God's plan, the right way, the correct way, and the plan of Satan. And just in case you were worried that you were incapable of sticking true completely to God's plan, even Peter fell. Peter, the rock, fell. In his moment of weakness, in understanding the difficulty that was laid before Jesus and him, in a moment of weakness, he became a mouthpiece of the devil. Peter was struggling to comprehend what this Messiah was that had come. Jesus is to be a Messiah very different from the one that many of the Jews had been expecting. He was not here to overthrow the Roman rule, to kick them out of Judea. Rather, he was to do what at first seems the opposite. He was to be put to death by them. He'd come to suffer and to die for us. And gladly he chose that direction. He was willing to carry it through to the very end. Because suffer he must have done. And suffer he must have done to achieve that final great victory, to take on the evil in the world. He had to be almost overcome by it. God himself lowered, taken to a low level, a level lower than any could ever comprehend. Until that day, 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, raised to new heights by the Father, raised to sit at the right hand of God. This is the God we serve, a God who loves us and has made a way for us to be saved, who willingly sacrificed himself for us, because Jesus knew what was coming. He was never in any doubt. Yet on towards it he went. And if we take Jesus as our example, what does it look like to be a true disciple of Jesus? I'm sure there are probably libraries worth of books written about this. But we see here one part of it. In verses 24 and 25, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So we read that we must deny ourselves. And you may well ask, what does this look like? And it's a deep and hard, in some ways, and question to answer. If we look at a superficial level, it might simply be a call to asceticism, giving up our worldly pleasures and goods to go and live in a desert somewhere. But that's not what this is a call to. Instead, it's a much more radical and difficult call. A call to give up our own lives, to give ourselves fully to the service of our God and Creator. to give up our own ambitions and desires, to follow God, to serve him with all we have and all we are, to give ourselves to something greater than ourselves. And in the world we live in, this is a radical message. In a world that seems so individualistic and all about ourselves, there just seems to be something missing. Serving something greater than ourselves is often something that is disappearing in life. It has a few bastions left. Think of the armed forces, for instance, or the police. Serving something more than ourselves. Yet if we truly do it, it sets us apart from the worlds around us, separates us from those we come into contact with. If we seek with all our hearts to serve God, I truly think we can be seen differently, that something will be noticed differently about us. And then we see this famous cross, famous saying, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. I always find this saying, and it happens in verse 10, as chapter 10 as well, slightly previous to the cross happening, but I'm reliably informed that they'd have known what it meant. The fact of crucifixion was a part of life. And it would go on, of course, to take on more significance. But at the heart of this message is that we must suffer. Mark was talking before about the sense of giving up something, whether it's time or possibly energy. I have to admit to being glad he didn't try and convince me to join in his marathon, because he'd find me dead on a street somewhere. But that is what we're called to suffer, to struggle, to serve our God, to emulate Jesus in all that we do, in all that we are. We're to take Jesus as our example. And he gave his ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life for us. So it might be a hard message to hear this morning, but we may, in fact, be called to give up our lives for Jesus. It can be a difficult thing to get our heads around sitting in Britain, where we are. But it was not a fact unknown to the disciples. Indeed, very few of them went on to die peacefully in their beds. Most were killed for their beliefs. They were on fire for Jesus, on fire for the message of salvation that he brought. This was what it means to follow Jesus. And it's the same around the world. We know of Christians who suffer and are persecuted daily for following Christ, even dying for their refusal to give up on Jesus. Are you prepared to die for your Lord? Most of us, I suspect, will never have to truly answer that question. But it might just be that one day you're called to do so. Because to not be willing to do so is to do what Jesus puts so bluntly here. If we prefer our own worldly plans, we forfeit our very soul. That is what it means to follow Jesus, to be saved, but not to turn away from God's will. But it's not just a passive acceptance of God's plan for us, an ambling through God's path, but an active, proactive role in seeking out God's will actively with all that we are. Through prayer, through reading scripture, through building a relationship with our God. Because that is one of the amazing things. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know him, and he wants to know us. By doing this, we get a clearer picture of God's will for us, so that we might truly and faithfully serve him, our Lord and our Creator. In Jesus, we have the greatest gift we will ever be given, greater than we can ever imagine. Nothing will ever compare to it. God himself come to save us, to suffer and die for us. And we see here in verse 27 that Jesus claims rightfully, it has to be said, his mantle as God. He claims the right to judge, something traditionally reserved to God. And so we see Jesus here proclaiming his Godhood. He'll come again and judge us. And where will we be found to be? Are you willing to give your life completely to God? To not just pay lip service to him. To give all that you are to serve him. To know his mind and his will. To commit yourselves to spending time to get to know our Heavenly Father. And yes, even to suffer for him, possibly even to die. This is what we're called to. Because if anyone ever tells you that being a Christian is easy, they're lying to you. It's a difficult journey, but one that we walk gladly for our love for God and for Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word and the challenges within it. And Father, we pray that wherever we are, however much we know you, that we would be challenged by you to take up our cross, to be willing to suffer for you, to be willing to put aside all our worldly desires, to serve you with all that we are, all that we have put towards your will. Father, we pray that you would equip us to know you more. Father, we want to have a relationship with you. Father, fill us with the Spirit, your Spirit, to equip us to know your will and to have the strength to carry it out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, I think, is going to lead us in communion, if he can see the words in front of him.
Amen. Thank you, Richard, for a reminder that radical expression of Jesus to take up our cross and follow him has meaning around this communion table. As we share bread and wine together, we are radically expressing the call of our Saviour to follow him. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can come and share this meal kind of in a way that's rote. It was never meant to be that way. This is meant to be the radicalization of the church, and by that I mean going back to the reality, the radix in Latin, remembering the origin of our faith in Jesus Christ. So I invite you to come and share this time with me. If at home you've not got yourself ready yet, you've a time while we pray to get together that which for you this morning represents the sharing of the bread and the wine. Friends, come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come, not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but come because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little, and you love to love him more. Come because he loved you, gave himself for you, called you to come and remember the reality of taking up your cross daily for him. Come because he proved himself, he gave himself in love for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we're his body. Let's pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord, he writes, what I also hand on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A radical concept, friends, that as we share in bread and wine together this morning, whether here or at home, we are proclaiming to the world the reality of Jesus Christ, and proclaiming once again that our God reigns. He is still God, and he is still in control. So before we break bread together, let's pray and give thanks. Loving God, we thank and praise you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of the kingdom of God, denouncing its power in the lifting of the reality of who you are. We demonstrate that power, Lord, through the lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We pray this morning that this church, that we individually may take up our cross and follow you and lift those in our community this morning, Lord, who feel downtrodden. May reach out in prayer to heal the sick. May even, Lord, dare to speak to the neighbour next door who we've not spoken to for ages, who feels loveless, so that we can love them ourselves. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of this world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall all inherit. We thank you and give you thanks for this bread and this wine, symbols of our world and yet signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and turned into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to ask those that are going to come and give me a hand with communion to come forward. Both Lorraine and Richard have already been out and washed their hands and gelled them. And we're following those safe COVID rules here for everyone's sake in in the church this morning. You'll find that when we come to, when you receive the bread, it's already been cut into squares. That was done in an hygienic way so that you can be assured that this morning, as you take bread and you drink wine together, the Lord is your center point, piece, and your focal point. It's done so that it may give you comfort and peace as you meet with him. At home, I invite you to take your piece of bread, whatever you have, and break it with me. Jesus says, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in memory of me." So take this in remembrance that Jesus died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Just to remind everyone in the church, in order to take communion, you are allowed to take your mask off. That sounds really kind of logical, but just to remind you. As communion is served here and at home, we pray. We thank you, Lord, that as we share this bread together, that we remember that Christ died for you, for us. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith and raise our thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, that you said, "This is my body which is for you." You made this a reality, that you died for each of us. Praise be to our Lord. Amen. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink this, do this in memory of me." Friends, we are going to drink the wine together and with individual glasses in church. And I invite you, wherever you are, to give all in your family something to drink. We're going to drink together as a sign that our Lord's death was good enough for the covenant with God that was once and for all, for all. The blood of Christ. As that is distributed, friends, let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you sealed this covenant with your blood. We thank you that you did not hold back anything, that you gave your all, that in the symbolism that you shared, you speak to us of your covenant love, and that that covenant love extended beyond that moment, beyond that group of disciples, that it's a covenant love that was given for each one of us, but for every one of us as well. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the reality of your covenant love expressed in this amazing way. So, friends, we drink together. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Amen. Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, You met us in your Son and brought us home. Doing and being and living, he declared your great love, gave us your grace, opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink this cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope that you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free. And the whole world will one day praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, to end our service this morning, we're going to join in an act of worship and sing together, We Break This Bread.
We break this bread.
So we come to the end of our service this morning. Thank you for joining us. A reminder, several things, actually. If you'd like to join us here in person, either on a Sunday or a Thursday, please get in touch with Margaret in the office to book in. There's also a collection in the foyer if you brought something to give, and please don't feel you have to, but if anyone has anything they'd like to, there's a box in the foyer. And a reminder that we have a prayer meeting at the Hub tomorrow morning at 9:30. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.